The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, that's your assignment for this weekend. Let's just put it that way. Email the show at td@kpcg.fm. We'll come to a really great email response that we got just the other day, just a little bit later on in the program. Well, I'm looking forward to the time change in North America this weekend, because then we can set things back as far as our programming is concerned here at Edstone. An hour, as it's been this week, it's eating into my prep time, having to push the broadcast up to noon here at Edstone instead of our normal 1 p.m. Well, actually, it's been a fairly light week for me. If you've been listening all week, you know it's been a lighter week for me as far as radio responsibilities go. Thanks to Richard Palmer and Brad McDonald for filling in the last couple of days while I was away with the family in Belfast for the All Ireland's dance competition. Actually, earlier in the week, Brad McDonald was also there for a day with his son Isaac, who placed eighth in his category, which was a great placement for his first ever competition at All Ireland's. For my son, it was his second competition. Last year he got third, and this year he got fourth, so he was about at the same level. 21 boys in my son's group, coming from here in the UK, Ireland, of course, Germany. There was a competitor from Germany, I think a couple from Canada, and a couple from America. And the boy who actually won that competition was from Australia. So you have the winner from Australia, and then the second, third, and fourth place boys, including my son, all come from the Birmingham area, right here near Edstone. So it's a great opportunity, as we've told my son, my wife, and me over the years, or at least over the last year and a half, to be in this area where there's so many fine competitors for my son to go up against at these various competitions. That's certainly a theme that we bring out often with both of our children, the opportunities that God has given to them to grow and to develop, to build character. All of these experiences, they really do pile up over the years, and they go a long way toward who these young people or what they turn into as they become young adults. We were telling my son on the way to Ireland just how, because we live where we do, it gives him opportunities to compete at major competitions, much more so than if he was living in the United States, and the cost to get over here for those competitions would be prohibitive. But as it is, he has opportunities, and so many young people in God's church have been given tremendous opportunities. Even the classes that our children keep up with online from Imperial Academy at Edmond, Oklahoma, a tremendous opportunity to learn God's truth, to learn God's way of life, to learn from instructors who care so much about the growth and the development of the young people in God's church. Of course, we say a lot about our Philadelphia youth camps when those come around in July and August. You heard us talking about that here at Edstone with our first camp there in the early weeks of August a couple months ago. We've got camps all over the world, in fact, at Edmond, here at Edstone, in the Philippines, in Australia. The Australian youth camp, that's coming up here in just a few weeks. And, of course, with the college, we've got two campuses here at Edstone, the headquarters campus in Edmond. Hopefully we'll have another campus in Jerusalem before Christ returns to this earth. That would be awesome. another awesome growth opportunity for the work and for our young people. When I was in Edmond just a couple of weeks ago, I was able to see the new Performing Arts Center on the Edmond campus with this beautiful recital hall and orchestra practice room and two dance studios. And when my family walked through that when we arrived at Edmond, I think we went into it that same night, we were just in awe of what God has raised up for our young people, for our children, for our future musicians and dancers, as God's raising up this royal culture, this royal family culture. I've read to you before Psalm 45, verse 16, where it says, "Instead of your fathers shall be your children, whom you may make princes in all the earth." You can make them princes, princesses. That's what we've got to continually remind our children, who they are, what their future is. I talked about vision in the last program I gave before leaving for Ireland. And to be sure, we've got to teach the vision to our youths, to show them what God has in store for them. My father's talked a lot just this past year about that royal family culture, that history that we're part of, going way thousands of years back, and of course it extends on into eternity. But here God says, "Whom you may make princes in all the earth." The parents certainly do. They certainly do have a lot to do with it, what our children turn out to be. I mean, as they grow older, they're going to have to make decisions more on their own. And as Paul said, work out their own salvation. But there is a proverb that says that we've got to train them up in the way that they should go. We've got to train them. We've got to give them direction. We've got to give them guidance. We've got to teach them. We've got to love them. We've got to spend time with them. We can't neglect them. This John Quincy Adams book, I've quoted from this in previous programs, particularly over the summer, but talking about John Adams and his wife Abigail and the boy that they raised. The author of this book says, "What is clear in any case is that they poured themselves into the raising of their eldest son, and that he dutifully, indeed reverently, absorbed their lessons and their example. He became what they wished him to be. Both John and Abigail regarded the upbringing of children as a sacred and solemn obligation." They took it seriously, these two, this founding father, along with his wife. They regarded the upbringing of John Quincy and the others as a sacred and solemn obligation, and John Quincy became what they wished him to be. In the Key of David booklet, my father talks about all the programs that Herbert Armstrong raised up for the youth in the church, and the many resources that he put toward the youth in the church. He did that because he understood that our young people, our children, they have to be taught how to be God's royalty, how to be princes and princesses. Mr. Armstrong himself, he wrote back in 1983, "Whether or not you have children ages 13 to 18, you should be much interested, even as I am." He was 90 years old at the time he wrote this, by the way. And he's telling God's people, "You should be interested, even as I am, in the summer educational program, in the youth camps for this coming summer." He wrote, "There is no phase of God's work more important. There's no phase more important than this work for the youth." And he said, "Whether you have children of SEP age or not, You should be as interested in these camps as I am. There's no phase more important than this. How about that? For parents to have their hearts in the work. For parents to have their hearts in what they make their children to be. What do we wish for them to be? What is it we want for them to accomplish? What kind of character do we want for them to build? He says, the psalm does, verse 17, I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise you forever and ever. Going back to the Key of David booklet, my father's booklet, he said the main lesson that we need to get across to our young people is how to live the rich and abundant life now. That's the main lesson. We've got to teach them how to live. We've got to show them how to live. And of course, the church provides a lot of opportunities and resources to assist parents, to supplement what the parents themselves are teaching and doing. He says, we've got to teach them or get across this message, this vision, to our young people. And then he writes, then they can help teach the whole world. My father says, this world is full of glitter and glamour and sinful fun, quote unquote, but it's only fun temporarily, not truly joyous living. When Jesus Christ returns and sets up the kingdom of God, abundant living will begin for the whole world. No human being can truly imagine what life will be like in the millennium unless we let God show us through the Key of David vision. Yes, indeed, it takes vision. We've got to see where these camps, where these educational programs, where these schools, where these recital halls, where these orchestra practice rooms, where these dance studios, we've got to see where these youth programs are leading. Get the vision, God says. One listener writing in response to Tuesday's show on vision, said, you are on point with how we all must learn to think about the big picture. We all need that vision to see farther down the road in order to discipline ourselves, to follow the straight and narrow. As you said, it's what keeps us from lawlessness. First, the vision. First the vision, and then we purify ourselves, and then we strive to obey God's laws. 1 John 3:3-4, or 1-4. We went through that on Tuesday's show. Here's another email response from a listener in Oklahoma, and she says, long-time listener, first-time responder. Yesterday morning, I caught the last couple of minutes of the TD after I dropped my kids off at school. I think in those few minutes, God was delivering something that I needed to hear. She writes, I've been shocked to find out about how many of God's people have left the truth over the past couple of years, particularly young people. She says, young people from seemingly stable and strong families. As a parent, it made me think of my children. What do I need to do differently? How can I better guide them? How can I help them to love God and His way of life more? She says, I think the end of your program answered my questions and concerns in just a few short minutes. I believe you are quoting from the God Family Vision. The biggest problem that God's people have is not looking far enough into the future. Not looking far enough ahead. How far ahead are we looking as parents? She concludes here, as a parent, I need to have my kids thinking big, thinking of the wonderful future they have as part of God's family that will go on for eternity. This vision of the future needs to shape their young lives. It needs to shape their lives. They need to see where they're going, where this is leading. all these wonderful programs, these wonderful educational programs, these wonderful youth programs. I've written and talked before about my upbringing in the Worldwide Church of God, my teenage years during the mid-1980s, and all of the youth activities that took my family, me and my family, all over the great Northwest. Growing up in a little town called Pasco, Washington, and visiting Spokane and Seattle and Tacoma and Coeur d'Alene and Boise and Portland down in Oregon and Salt Lake City, Utah, and Missoula, Montana. All the activities we attended, the music challenges or competitions, the sporting events, the track and field events, the winter family weekend, the dances, the social occasions, and spending time as a family with many other families in God's church. And it was the same when my family moved to Oklahoma when I was 15. The same kinds of activities. These activities that Mr. Armstrong was so excited about, even at the age of 90, he said to the brethren, "You should be interested, just as I am, in these youth programs." Well, life for me in the church revolved around the church. It revolved around the church activities. It revolved around the church educational programs. It revolved around those opportunities that the church, God's church, made available to families, to children in families. I attended my first youth camp in 1985 when I was 15. I think there were more than 300 or so campers coming from all over the world, most of them from the United States and Canada. But what an impact that first camp had on me. That was, as it happens, that was the last year of Herbert Armstrong's life. And I attended the last session of SEP, the last one that Mr. Armstrong was able to visit. And he'd come to those camps. This was in Orr, Minnesota. And when he arrived and when his plane touched down nearby and then he came on campus or onto the campsite in his car, the campers would line the roadway waving and smiling at Mr. Armstrong. Well, that camp was, I think, in late July, early August of 1985. And it was around that same time that Mr. Armstrong's final book, Mystery of the Ages, went to press. I think it went to press July 29th. And that trip, when he visited Orr, Minnesota, by the way, he was going to go on and visit a lot of other areas. But then his health took a severe turn for the worse, and he had to cancel much of the rest of his trip, and he spent the next couple of weeks in bed. He was 93 years of age, and yet he was able to have enough strength in early September 1985 to present Mystery of the Ages. By that point was printed, and he wanted to give those first copies to young people at Ambassador College, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, the sophomore class. It was to be their textbook. He was so interested in the youth programs, in educating the youth, and he wanted the other parents in the church to be as interested as he was in this truth, in this revelation, in this education. Here is Mr. Armstrong speaking before the sophomore class at Ambassador College the day that he handed out Mystery of the Ages.
The Bible is like a book that had been sort of cut up into about 2,000 or 3,000 pieces, and you have to get them all put together in the right order, or you can't understand them. This book puts them together. And yet this book is only a synopsis. You could say it's the gist of the Bible, the synopsis. It doesn't cover all of it, but it covers the main thread of the Bible, so you can understand the Bible and understand the other details when you read them in the Bible. It'll open up the Bible so that you understand it. That's what it is for. Make the Bible plain and clear and understandable. And God is such a great God when you come to really know him and who and what he is and how real he is. And I want to say that you need to read every word and you need to go over it more than once. You aren't going to get the full meat of this book in one reading. This is a book that after you've read it, you can read it a second time and then later a third time. This book is not intended to take the place of the Bible. It's intended to make it so that you will understand the Bible. You must read the Bible with it. And this is to make the Bible clear and understanding to you as you read it and bring its meaning out as you never saw it before. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I hope you will enjoy it. It'll give you great happiness and enjoyment. I hope you'll enjoy reading it. And I hope more than any other book you've ever read, except the Bible. And perhaps, in a sense, this makes even the Bible more clear and plain, and you'll enjoy the Bible more from now on. Will you forgive me if I get a little bit of thrill that this was then done? This book is out now. Today's a pretty big day in my life when I can hand the copies of this book out to each of you.
He wanted to give that book to each of those sophomore students. That was a big day in his life. You can't help but get a little emotional if you know that history, if you've lived through that history. It's hard not to get emotional when you hear him there at the end talking about how thrilled he is to give Mystery of the Ages to the youths in God's church. You know the story of this book and how Mr. Armstrong brought all of this information, this revelation, this truth together, and God's hand in it, and how God inspired him. He said, Mr. Armstrong did, I don't even feel like I wrote it. God used me in writing it. He said it may be the most important book since the Bible. And he wanted the young people to receive it. He gave it to them first. And he said to them, I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It'll open up the Bible so that you can understand the Bible. And it's something that you're going to need to study a second and a third time. You're going to have to get grounded, you young people. You're going to have to get grounded in this vision. You're going to have to get grounded in Mystery of the Ages. The content in this book was not something Mr. Armstrong wanted the brethren to take casually. He wanted parents and children alike to dig into it and to go over it again and again. It was, as I say, it was the textbook for that particular class he was addressing, the sophomores. And right away it became required reading for all people who were interested in coming into the church. Of course, he wasn't just there making it a textbook for the sophomores. He gave it to everyone in the church. He offered it to everyone watching the World Tomorrow program, to everyone reading the Plain Truth magazine. He wanted everyone to get the vision, the God family vision, the mystery that had been hid from the ages. That's the key. We've got to get grounded in that truth, that revelation from God, and get our children grounded in that same message. We'll look more at that when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget to email us. That's what you've got to do this weekend. Send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Throughout the Bible, God refers to human beings as His own children. Many people, however, say God just doesn't seem real to them. God is a great mystery. Yet, their human fathers don't seem like a mystery. Why does God seem unreal? In Mystery of the Ages, Herbert W. Armstrong answers that question. In this book, Mr. Armstrong strives to make God as real to you as your own human father. Do you realize that God, as described in the Holy Bible, is actually a family? That He calls human beings His children because He wants to be their father? This magnificent truth, once understood, will help you understand your Bible like never before. Mystery of the Ages will guide you in your study of God's Word and will make plain this incredible, seemingly unbelievable truth. We would like to offer you this book, Mystery of the Ages, absolutely free, no cost or obligation. In many ways, Mystery of the Ages is about Herbert Armstrong's close personal relationship with God the Father. It contains a powerful message that God revealed to Mr. Armstrong during their constant contact, their continual conversation that lasted for nearly six decades. If you thoroughly study Mystery of the Ages along with your Bible, you will get to know God. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Welcome back to the program. Today we're talking about those many youth programs that Herbert Armstrong was so interested in, and then more specifically about that last year of his life and the thrill that he got from producing Mystery of the Ages, and how that the first group of people to receive copies were students, young people at Ambassador College. Paul had something to say about a mystery that had been hid from ages and from generations. In Colossians chapter 1, he said, this is something we've got to get grounded in. This has to be our foundation. This is something we have to be grounded and settled in, as Paul said. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. Now it's been made known. Now it's been revealed. There's only one book on earth today that expounds upon this mystery of God. And that book is Mystery of the Ages. Mr. Armstrong said, I feel I didn't even write it. God gave it to him. Now it's been made manifest to the saints. Colossians 1 verse 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, that's the key to abundant living. Being filled with Jesus Christ. Someone who's filled with Christ won't fall away from the truth, won't leave God's true church. My father gave a message, it must have been about a year and a half ago, where he admonished God's people to get grounded in the mystery, to get grounded in mystery of the ages, to better understand and appreciate how valuable that book is, Mr. Armstrong's final work. And in that same message, he talked about young people that lose sight of this vision, young people that leave God's church. And he said, this is just a paraphrase, but he said that, you know, Satan, who's the god of this world, he's not out there typically persuading teens with philosophy and scholarship and you know, as far as this world scholarship goes. He said typically it comes down to pulling them out of the church with these deviant behaviors, sexual immorality. And as my father said in that message, when that happens, when young people fall away from the truth, when young people immerse themselves into the world instead, he said it really does show that something is lacking in their lives. Something is lacking in those families. We have a hand, as I said in the first segment. We have a hand in making them into princes and princesses. And as a family, it gets back to being grounded in what Paul talked about here in Colossians 1. It gets back to building your education, building your life, building your activities, building your family around mystery of the ages. You can go on and study in the book of Colossians here, chapter 3, and see what Paul had to say so much about family life. I mean, that's our main work as parents. Of course, a father's got to be a provider. Of course, he's got to be on the job and working and making an income and so on. But his main responsibility, his main work, together with his wife, is to bring those children up in the way that they should go. I mean, this is his legacy. This is the fruit that he produces. His own children. How important is that? How important is it to get them grounded in the vision? I mean, if they turn away from this truth, something's lacking. Something's not quite right. That's the thing. We've got to step up to that responsibility as parents and go after our young people and go after our children. Go on the offensive. Genesis chapter 3. I just want to go through this, coming back to mystery of the ages and just the whole angle that Mr. Armstrong came from when writing that book. I'll just hit the high spot here at the end, Genesis 3, 22 through 24. You know the history of what happened, the two trees and the clear instructions and commands that God gave to Adam and Eve, and then the decision they made to reject God. The decision they made to reject God. Something was lacking in their lives, in their family. They didn't get the vision. They didn't project far enough ahead. They lost sight of the future, and they concentrated instead on what was right there in front of them, this temptation. And when they rejected God, God took action. Verse 22 of Genesis 3, and the eternal God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the eternal God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, verse 24, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so God closed off the Holy Spirit and eternal life to mankind in general until Jesus Christ removes Satan from off the throne of this earth. And that's coming. That'll happen at the return of Jesus Christ. But from this point, this decision that Adam and Eve made to reject God, right through to this very day, man has been cut off from God's truth, from God's way of life, from God's government, from God's Holy Spirit, from the fruits of God's Spirit, from the gifts that God provides. And Mr. Armstrong, in assembling all of that material for Mystery of the Ages, well, as he said there right at the start of that book, that even in the nearly 6 decades of his ministry, he hadn't come to fully realize the significance of Genesis 3:22 through 24, those verses we just read, that God closed the Holy Spirit and eternal life to mankind in general until the removal of Satan, until the second coming of Christ. He said it was this crystal clear realization, this mind-boggling realization, is what prompted him or impelled him to write Mystery of the Ages. This clears what had been clouded in mystery, he said. And so he set out to write this book, this final work, his greatest work, Mystery of the Ages, which reveals everything you need to know about God's purpose and plan for man, and about why this world is the way it is today. Revelation 12:9 says that Satan, as the god of this world, has deceived the whole world. That means all the institutions and systems of this world, government, business, trade, commerce, and education as well. Even religion. The whole world's deceived. You can look at this world and see that this is obviously not God's world. It's been kidnapped by the devil. This is the underlying premise of all the content in Mystery of the Ages. If we're grounded in that, then we're going to see this world for what it is and be much less likely. Again, we're all weak and we all make mistakes. We all have to battle our vanity and our lusts, the lusts of our flesh. But if we're grounded in this mystery, we're going to be a lot less likely to turn away from this truth. What did my father say in that message a year and a half ago? For those that are turning to the ways of this world, turning to deviant sexual behavior, young people that would just turn away in bitterness, in stubbornness, in hard-headedness, he said it shows that something's lacking in their lives, something's lacking in those families. How well do we understand? We talked about vision on Tuesday, getting grounded in this vision, this future. But how well do we understand, we parents, how well do our children understand that this is not God's world? This present evil world is not God's. Get our minds on the future. Get our minds on the vision. Well, all right, let's talk too about the present. Let's talk too about today. What about today? What about this world? What about the way this world is? What about the evil, the appalling evils? What about all of the suffering? What about all the division, the hatred, the broken families, the unhappy marriages, the discontented children, the rebellious children? What about all of this? Well, Satan would love for us to just get trapped in the thinking that, well, maybe this world is not so bad after all. Well, maybe there is some good in this world that can be salvaged. Well, maybe in the world of religion, people are good-hearted and sincere. And maybe it's not so bad. Maybe dabbling in the world is not so bad after all. Or maybe if our children leave the church and get into worldliness, it's not so bad after all. Well, we've got to get grounded in this vision. And the more that we do, the more we're going to see this world for what it is. It takes a lot. It's our lives. It's a sacrifice. But that's what we're called to be, living sacrifices. Romans 12:1. What a blessing and privilege it is to have our minds open to the truth, to have our minds opened to the revelation contained in Mystery of the Ages. That's something we want to jump for joy over. And then, like Mr. Armstrong said, we want to give it to as many people as we can, the largest audience possible. Certainly that includes our very own children. In fact, that's the most important group of all. Mr. Armstrong said as much when he talked about those many youth programs that he was so excited about, so interested in, back in the 1980s. Let me play you one more clip from Mr. Armstrong. This is from a message he gave in 1981.
Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." God has drawn every one of you. He chose you or you wouldn't be here. If indeed the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, as we would assume is true. But you're children. And remember this. Many parents today are neglecting their children, especially during the first 6 years of their lives until they're old enough to go to school, send them off and let the teachers begin to teach them. But let me tell you, Satan is not neglecting your children. He goes to work on them when they're, well, a few days old. By the time they're 7, 8, 9 months old, they already have been infused with a spirit of selfishness. Put two little babies about 9 months old down on a carpet together and one toy and watch them fight for it. Satan isn't neglecting your children, are you? Too many of you neglect your little children. You think you don't need to teach them anything. But Satan is getting into their little minds as fast as their minds develop. And he got indeed into all of your minds and mine as we were developing. And we've had a hard time, and it has taken a long time for us to repent of that and to come back and to begin to get a lot of what Satan injected into us out of us. And let God's Spirit inject a lot of the love of God and the peace of God into us.
It has been a long and very challenging and difficult road at times for so many of us to come out of this world and to repent of sin and the ways of sin. But look at the course we can set our little ones on. Look at what we can get them grounded in. Look at how we can counteract the devil's influence. And it is strong. I mean, Revelation 12:9 means what it says. Ephesians 2:2. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan is the master broadcaster. You, as he said there, you put two little babies together. Put them down on a carpet together with just one toy and see what happens. Where does that spirit come from? It's so strong. It's all over the world, the spirit of competition, the spirit of selfishness and vanity. We've got to train them up in the way that they should go. Well, look at the history of what's happened in God's church in this seventh and final era, the Laodicean era, Revelation 3, the last several verses of that chapter. Paul wrote about it in 2 Thessalonians 2. He said to the brethren there, don't let any man deceive you. And let me tell you this, he said to the brethren, a lot of you are going to fall away from the truth. And this was an end time prophecy. A lot of you are going to fall away from the truth. Verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 2 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that are perishing, it should read, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. See, that's what's lacking in those individual lives or in those families. When they fall away from the truth, what's lacking? A love for the truth. Will you forgive me if I get a little bit of a thrill that I can hand this truth out to you today? That's what Mr. Armstrong said. 93 years of age, handing out Mystery of the Ages to 19-year-olds. My father wrote in the God Family Vision that our attitude toward Mystery of the Ages, our attitude toward that book says a lot about our conversion. It reveals a lot about us. It reveals a lot about fathers and mothers and children. We've heard the mystery. It's been hid from ages, from generations, and now we know. Now our minds have been open to it. Here's what my father wrote. Jesus Christ doesn't want a bride who says, Mystery of the Ages, I could take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. There's other things I can study. I can go it alone. I can get by on my own. And after all, the world around me, it's not that bad. It's not really that bad. No, he wants a bride, my father writes. He wants a bride who says there's only one thing to do, and that is to take it, deliver it, and proclaim it to all of the Gentiles, because that's my job, to gather in the whole world. He's paraphrasing Colossians 1, obviously. He says, how much do we really care about Mystery of the Ages? How much do you want to proclaim it and give it and give this excitement to the world? That's what this is. This is where real excitement and joy and abundance resides, in this way of life, in God's family, with all of these programs, with all of these opportunities, so many of them for our young people. Well, it says in the next verse that God shall send strong delusion. God did it. God sent it to see if they'd believe a lie, to see if they'd forsake the mystery of the ages, to see if they'd turn their back on the truth. And so many did. Well, the leaders that grabbed hold of the reins after Mr. Armstrong died, it wasn't but a few years after his death, that they said they had a Christian duty to keep Mystery of the Ages out of print. They didn't want anybody to receive it. They didn't want that book circulating. They didn't want parents digging into it and studying it. They certainly didn't want parents teaching their children this truth, this revelation, this mystery. And so they wanted to keep it out of print. They said Mr. Armstrong's teachings were better left out of circulation. And, well, you know the story, the history of this little church. What a glorious history it is from 1997 to 2003. It's talked about in Raising the Ruins. This little church fighting against that massive organization, David and Goliath, fighting for Mystery of the Ages. The Philadelphia Church of God using every available resource, during that critical 6-year period to fight for the truth. We were the only church to do it. The only church to fight for Mr. Armstrong's writings. And now, of course, we have those writings today, and we offer them freely. I've gotten into a program on this before. The one where Mr. Armstrong came to solely rely upon God. That happened back in 1933. He knew that God headed up this work. He knew that God was the one who would provide, who would send in the support. If we would just learn this lesson to rely solely on Him, to pour our hearts into the work, to distribute this message to the largest audience possible. He knew God would provide, and God did. God did. God really did. Revelation chapter 10. We can conclude over here in the book of Revelation. See what the Apostle John had to say here again about the mystery. The mystery, Revelation 10, verse 5 says, "And the angel, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand, to heaven, and swear by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer," or no more delay. No more delay. That's the time period we entered into after the death of Herbert Armstrong, at the end of the Philadelphia era, the sixth era of God's true church, and then we entered into this time period. No more delay. It says in verse 7, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound," or he's about to sound, "the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets." So before that seventh trumpet sounds, something has to happen on this earth. What is it? It's right as that seventh trumpet is about to sound. Just before it sounds, here there's an accelerated work going on in a short span of time, no more delay, and it's about the mystery of God. That's what we're here to proclaim. That's what we're here to take to the world again. Verse 11 says, "And he said to me, you must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." We've got to take it out there again. We've got to prophesy again. We've got to declare the mystery. It should be finished. It should be finished. Here you have, in these two chapters, Revelation 10 and 11. I mean, the story revolves around two books. One reveals the mystery of iniquity. Malachi's message tells you what happened after Mr. Armstrong's death. But the other book, Mystery of the Ages, this mystery that should be finished. That's the context here, and I won't take the time to, we don't have enough time to read through Revelation 11. I mean, it all culminates in the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. The return of Christ to this earth, as I said earlier, the only book on earth today that truly explains the mystery is Mystery of the Ages, the one that we went to court to fight for. Now, we look at that example, we look at that history as parents, as families, and we've got to have that same mindset. This is something we fight for. This is something that's so valuable. This is something we can't ever let go. But the delusion, it's strong, isn't it? The influence from the devil, it's so strong. But are you willing to fight? To go on the offensive and to fight against our adversary? We've got to be. We've got to be. Or there's going to be more people. There's going to be more youths. There's going to be more young people that turn and walk away. It says in verse 11 again, "You must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. The whole vision here in chapters 10 and 11, it revolves around mystery of the ages. And what did my father say? Well, your attitude toward that teaching, that instruction, it reveals a lot about you. In the Royal Book of Revelation, my father said, God has opened the door to proclaim mystery of the ages. It is our supreme responsibility to walk through that door. We know most people are not going to respond until they're in the Great Tribulation, but if we do our job, I know what the buzzword will be in the tribulation. People will be talking about mystery of the ages. That book is the hope of this world. It is the hope of this world. It's the hope for our children. And Mr. Armstrong said to those young people in the church, to the 19-year-olds, the 19-year-old sophomores, he said, I hope it will be a blessing to you. I really do. I hope you'll enjoy it and that it will bring you great happiness. I hope you'll enjoy reading it. And I hope more than any book you've ever read, except the Bible. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show as we put the finishing touches on yet another program, yet another week's worth of programs. Don't forget your weekend assignment. Email us at td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next week.